Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Moon Tower. Had a great time at Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, but now we're back with the Zoom show. In order to keep our 5 episodes each month quota coming your way, it's Sunday, October 3rd, 2021, I wrote down. That sounds about right. And my Homes Alone guests today are Brandon Collins, Lori Kilmartin, and Dan Van Kirk.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Oh, good morning.
Let's meet them individually and alphabetically. So, Laura, you can hit the snooze button for a minute or two. Brandon Collins is here. Welcome back, dude.
Thanks for having me back, man. This is always a fun time.
Yeah, it's been a little while, but you did an episode when we first started doing the Zoom shows, I think.
Yep.
And it was great to have you then. Great to have you back. What's new in the world of, do you have a specific thing you're promoting right now?
I got Drunk Black History. Our Halloween edition is on Friday, October 29th at Caveat in New York City. It's going to be fantastic. You can get tickets at drunkblackhistory.com. We have a lot of fun things planned. Some that I think are going to cause some controversy because we're trying to do some things with Candyman. That's going to be like a main theme this year. So excited about that. And then just covering a bunch of movie festivals for the Media Popcorn podcast. So I went to Toronto to cover TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival. I'm covering New York Film Festival right now. So being able to see a lot of good movies and some not so good.
I think it's fun that when people bring up TIFF, they often say right after saying TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival, it's like, well, then why? You could have skipped the TIFF part altogether. But
it's accessible, does, Doug.
It does. You do always want to explain when you just mentioned TIFF, it just doesn't. What is he even talking about? But then, no, it's serious. It's the Toronto International Film Festival. It's not just some TIFF thing out there. But that's very exciting that movies are opening up again. Have you already seen the new James Bond? Have you had time to die?
I did have some time to die. Apparently, I needed a lot of it because that movie's almost 3 hours long.
No, why?
That's without previews. So I saw a press screen. It was 2 hours and 40 something minutes. So, but I will say I was actually very impressed by it. I'm a big fan of Cary Fukunaga. I always shit the bed on his name, but he directed the first season of True Detective and Beasts of No Nation. He did a fantastic job as the first American to direct the James Bond movie. And I think it's a pretty good wrap up to Daniel Craig's James Bond. They take some risks that I thought paid off and I appreciated. I know it's going to probably be controversial, but yeah, I thought it was pretty solid, even though it was almost 3 hours. Everything is trying to be like Endgame.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. There's no reason. Just go ahead and we could have had two or three more Daniel Craig movies. That's what they should make them an hour long. Oh, and you know what? Bundle them as a mini series and put it on streaming. And actually, I do still hold out hope that the big screen you think is the place to see this one. Is it pretty spectacular?
I would say so. Yeah, I got to see an IMAX screening of it, and it was pretty dope. Like, all these movies, I would say, see in a theater. Like, I saw Dune. You only should see that in the theater. Like, don't see that on HBO Max. It's just not going to be the same.
Well, any movie can be IMAX if you sit close enough to the screen. I think IMAX is that's their motto. That's how they sell tickets. But thank you for being here. And we'll talk to you in a bit about, I know you're really caught up on movies, it sounds like. So we'll see if you have something specific you'd like to recommend. But in the meantime, let's say hello to our returning champion, Lori Kilmartin is here. Hello, Lori.
Hi. Let me tell you something. What a fluke it was that I won any sort of contest on a movie podcast. And I'm embarrassed for you that I'm here, but I am here.
Well, that just makes it even, the stakes are even higher for your competitors today now that we've established that you have no business in this competition. Sure. And there's still, I still feel like you have a very good shot at winning. which I'm excited about. That's the direction this show has gone. Is like, can Doug make the least, the smallest movie nerd the biggest champion? That's what I'm trying to do.
Wow, that's pretty empowering, and I like how you structured the game that way to give people like me a chance.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Sometimes when people aren't good at the games, they also disagree with how much I'm trying to make it easier for them. We'll find out how you feel about it in a little bit. It's been, I ran off to Austin, Texas for a couple of shows. So it's been maybe a week and a half or so since you've been on. Have you done anything to train for today?
Yeah, I started watching Squid Game, and I know that's not a movie, but I feel ruthless and ready to sell out my competitors. So yeah.
Didn't our friend Jackie Cation tweet something to the effect of, "I understand what you're doing, Squid Game, but I'm out."
Once you get over the first mass shooting, you're in. That's what I say. That's what I tell people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that seems fair. That mm-hmm. seems really fair. It's really, it's something, that first mass shooting. But yeah, you're right. I think from there on in, I mean, there's been so many people are dead that there's less, they can't have another mass shooting because the mass is gone.
Yeah, once they knock off over close to 300 people, the worst is over. And
yeah, I think so.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's good.
All right. Well, that's also what we call television. It's all very confusing now because it just sort of feels like a super long movie. Mm-hmm. But we'll be coming back to you in a second for your recommendation on this episode.
Okay.
And I'd like to introduce a longtime favorite of yours and mine, DVK,
we Hi, call friend.
Him. That's what we yeah. call him, Daniel Van Kirk. Hey, Daniel.
Hi, buddy.
<Hey, Matt. laughs> You sound like, are you working for like a helpline now?
No, I've just been watching The Guilty, so I'm ready to take calls.
Okay, so I was excited that there was a Jake Gyllenhaal joint coming out on Netflix, and another movie that's, you know, might be good because Gyllenhaal is usually pretty quality.
Yeah, I agree.
Makes good choices. But I saw like 2 seconds of it. And let me just guess and say that it's a whole movie of pretty much just watching Jake Gyllenhaal as a phone operator guy deal with somebody that's having some sort of crisis.
Well, with 47 minutes left, when I turned it off, I would agree with you.
Yeah, it just looks like, hey, this pandemic, how can we make a Jake Gyllenhaal mm-hmm. movie without all those mm-hmm. other pesky actors getting in the way? Mm-hmm. What storyline can he be by himself, but it's really dramatic?
Right. And then how much like plot development can we trickle in through phone calls that he's taking in the movie? I'll finish it, but I was like, okay, this isn't what I really thought I was going to get. That doesn't mean
you can't watch good, it in one. You can't watch it in one sitting. Like for instance, Craig Ferguson's The Hustler.
Yes. What was the movie? Wasn't there a movie called Lock with Tom Hardy where he's just on the phone in a car the whole time?
He's in a car. Yeah. And there's a Ryan Reynolds movie called Buried where he's mm-hmm. in a casket the whole time. I mean, I'm in hell the whole time during any movie like that. Like as soon as I get the idea that's going to be about one person by themselves and the best you're going to get for dialogue is them talking to an inanimate object or to themselves. I'm out.
All those types of movies should be an hour tops.
Yeah, or have a lot of people in it for a while and then have a shocking twist where mm-hmm. maybe for the last 20 minutes it's just somebody by themselves. Mm-hmm. Like that might, I wouldn't mind if Squid Game ended with eventually it's just down to one person just quietly making an omelet for 20 minutes.
It would be a nice palate cleanser for, I'm sure, the journey to get to that place.
We watched one episode of Squid Game this morning as a little, you know, morning wake up thing. Yeah. And then to kind of come down off of that, we started this show Made with Margaret Qualley.
Okay.
And it's about this woman who's forced to be a maid because she has an abusive husband and a baby and she's got to try to support herself. And it's about her journey, but they keep track of how much money she has by making a little ding and it shows up in the corner, but it's a drama. So already that sound effect is a little silly,
yeah.
but it's like watching just a depressing story about a person with no money, but it's also a game show. Cause the amount she has keeps dropping. Now she's in at the end of the first episode, she's in the red. So I don't even know what the fuck's going to happen.
That's based on a memoir.
Oh, right. That's right. It did say based on something. So this, I think it's a limited series. So it's limited to 9 episodes of the trauma of watching somebody deal with her. You know, she doesn't have, there's no daycare and she has to work somehow. And she's got a baby. It's crazy. It's very, very depressing, but also just, you know, too real.
Yeah. Very American.
So American. America is not helping this character at all. She might as well be one of those actors that's pretending to be American, but she's not, because we know that her mother is Andy McDowell, who plays her mother on the show, and her mother's no help with this baby. So that's pretty entertaining. I guess that's the most entertaining part of the show, is that, you know, mother and daughter playing mother and daughter, and the mother's just totally crazy. So I don't know how much of that is real.
I would, any kind of mother daughter relationship that's troubled is real, believe me.
I would think so, yeah. on that note, let's do the part of the show where I ask all my guests to recommend one motion picture, just one. I know a lot of times people are excited about more than one movie at once. I know that's possible, but I want just one. I want to be monogamous with one film that you love.
Currently?
Or want to recommend. And we'll start with Brandon Collins.
Oh man, so much pressure. I gotta go with The Tragedy of Macbeth. I watched that 2 weeks ago.
Oh, sneaky. Nobody's seen that yet.
Bro, it's so good, though. I got to tell everyone to see. Like, it's filmed in a very unique way, but Denzel doing Shakespeare, it cemented him for me as the best actor of all time. Like, he's so good at it that I'm still thinking about it. I don't really like Shakespeare, you know? And well, so
that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that you liked it in spite of disliking Shakespeare. Cause that is the thing for me is I feel like if they stop, I feel like they've made enough decent Shakespeare adaptations that if they just stopped tomorrow, like after this one, if they stopped, I would never be like, oh damn, well, how come nobody's messing with Shakespeare anymore? Oh yeah, I'm completely over Shakespeare, but This is exciting that you're saying that this is that impressive. It must also be a long ass movie though, right?
No, that's the plus side too. Is it was only like an hour and a half.
What?
It was tight. It was so tight and compact, and I loved it. I was in and out of the theater. I was like, oh yeah, Denzel's great. Frances McDormand, she did her thing. Coolio, I saw a good movie, and I still have time to spare.
I can't believe. Do you think Coen Brothers movies are? Do you think they're extra long all the time because of that other brother and
his
contributions? Solo Coen goes back to a tight 90-minute movie like back in the day with Blood Simple.
Mm-hmm. That's why the Wachowski siblings split up for The Matrix 4. You know, it's like we got to cut a little bit of fat, and unfortunately, you wear that fat. So
unfortunately, that's an gone. Entire person. You're out of here. We're gonna make it without you. That'll make it leaner. 90 minutes. That is. I'm telling you, I'm so excited. But Frances McDormand, she seems exhausted by having to go to award shows and winning awards. Is she going to have to go through that shit again because of this movie?
She might. Lady Macbeth has some really solid scenes. I mean,
oh my God. Yeah, Francis. I feel sorry for all the awards she's going to have to deal with. But it's always hilarious when she's going to accept an award. It's amazing. Laurie Kilmartin.
Can I just say
you're next alphabetically?
I love it when she just shows up with no makeup on.
Yeah.
And at, you know, age, I don't know, 55 and have smoked her whole life. It's like, you know what? I really appreciate how she seems to truly not give a fuck. And I like
she that. Really doesn't. Yeah. She really, while caring deeply at the same time, like she does, when she does speak, she tends to, you know, say pretty, pretty profound things.
Yeah. An intense lady.
And such a good actress, just disappears into these, all these different characters that she's played.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I, you know, the few times I've done this, I feel pressure to like prove that I have watched movies besides, you know, Goodfellas. But
like recently,
yeah, I mean, Goodfellas, I know back and forth. I feel like because I've watched it a lot, but you know, this one. Okay, so I dated a guy a couple years ago that was a director, and he obviously loved movies, and so he gave me some good taste and some stuff, and so it's a trilogy, but I'll only pick the first one of the trilogy. And it's called The Three Colors Trilogy by Krzysztof Kieslowski.
Yeah, which one is officially first? Blue?
Blue. Yeah, it's blue, white, red, and it's the tricolors of the... I'm just reading the description off Amazon right now. But I loved the series, and it's the tricolors of the French flag, and it's about people... emerging from Poland after the Soviet Union is broken up and the Iron Curtain falls, etc.
It's Julia Ormond. Is that who's in those movies?
Yes, it's a Julia. Yes, uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's...
She's great.
She's great, but like whenever somebody says to me, like, who's that when she's in something, and I go, oh, you know, she's in the Red, White, and Blue trilogy, that they immediately, you know, just go blank because nobody knows what that is. But great. Yeah. That's a great recommendation. This is, so far, we're off to a good start because we've got a movie that people don't have access to yet and a movie that has been long and wrongfully ignored.
Gotta give people options, Doug.
Yeah, it's true. People do love options. Dan Van Kirk, what do you think? Are there any movies that are only available in space that you've seen?
No, this is actually available on Netflix. It's a documentary. It's only 124 minutes long.
Okay. It's
called Last Breath.
Okay.
It is wild. I can't recommend it highly enough. It is about deep sea divers, and they're down on the ocean floor. And I shouldn't have to say more than that. I will if you want me to, but it is extremely good and intense and unbelievable.
Do they have a teacher that's an octopus?
They do not. And it does. There are parallels to this documentary and The Abyss, where you're like, so this is essentially The Abyss.
Oh, wow.
But it is very, very, very good. It is number one on my recommendation. At High Plains Comedy Festival, when our friend Jeff Tice, who's a great comic and does so many posters for people, because he's an equally great artist, he was like, I think I'm gonna head out early. I go, as soon as you get home, just watch Last Breath. And he did it, and he was glad that he missed an after party to watch that documentary. Which could be a high recommendation or a very low bar, depending on how you feel about after parties at comedy festivals.
You know what, I'm gonna leave my own podcast to watch it right now.
No, don't.
And then I'll come back with a little wrap up.
I can't wait to hear
what I thought.
I would love to hear what you think of it. Everybody should watch it.
I'll watch it during the break. That's what we'll do, is we'll take a break here in a second, and then I'll watch it and I'll tell you what I think of it after the break.
Awesome.
Well, thank you to all three of you for visiting Recommendation Nation. We've got some games to play, but like I said, we do have a break coming up. So let's go ahead and do that right now. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back, and holy shit, Last Breath was incredible.
I told you, man, and it flies.
I couldn't turn it off. I was like, fuck my podcast. I'm watching this entire movie right now.
Well, I'm glad we waited, because I couldn't wait to hear
what I think you're the only one that waited. Is Lori, are you here?
No, I'm here. Would you say it's the abyss of documentaries?
Yeah, it felt like it was 3 hours long. Brandon, are you still here?
Yeah, man, I was just over here playing with my Legos while I was waiting for you. But we made it work. I put together my Batmobile. So,
well, I appreciate everybody hanging out for this, and I do have a couple of fun games that I've put together. Starting with this one's called So and So and the Something Something. I don't know if any of you have played this game before, but there are movies out there in the world that really lay it out there. They really tell you who it is about and what might happen to them or where they might be, like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh.
You know, or Choo Choo and the Philly Flash.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird one. but it reminds me that I'll be in Philadelphia on Thursday, October 21st. Thursday, October 21st, a happy hour. I'm doing a happy hour show at Helium in Philadelphia. So Cool. Go to DougLovesMovies.com for tickets. All right. So you get the idea. There's titles like that. So I've made up for movies that don't have a title like that. I've made up a title using the actual character, a character from a movie, and something else about that movie is your basically your two clues. Mm-hmm. I will go to Brandon first. I will say my made up title, and you get to guess one guess what you think it is. If you don't get it right, we go to Lori and then we go to Dan. If nobody gets it, it's fine. These aren't super easy. They should get easier as we go, but we'll see. Any questions, Brandon?
No, let's just jump right in. Let's do it.
What movie do you think could be called Cat Stratford and the Shrew Tamer? Now, this is just Brandon. It's the only one. Even if Dan or Lori knows it, they have to wait. What do you think it is?
I believe that's 10 Things I Hate About You.
That is correct. I should have said they start easy and get harder, but I don't know. I don't know what everybody knows. Did you know that one, Lori?
No.
This is really sad. The reason why I let that name ring a bell is because I literally watched that movie 2 weeks ago and my wife hated me for the hour and 40 minutes that took place. And so it just all was fresh in my mind.
Well, what are the other 9 things she hates about you? Dan, did you recognize that?
I did not.
Wow. Okay.
It makes perfect sense now. But yeah, no, I did not.
That went right into Brandon's wheelhouse. That worked out pretty good. Because yeah, I really did think that might be a tough one. But also, of course, that was a Shakespeare adaptation, so that's why the name Stratford. Because of course Shakespeare is from Stratford on Avon, or that's where his theater started or whatever. All right.
It was a lucky guess, y'all. Like, you don't forget Julia Stiles dancing to Biggie on a table. So
no, you don't, unless your name is Lori or Dan. So the two of you have some catching up to do. Lori, you got to go first on this next one.
Oh, all right.
What movie could be called Ryan Stone and Being Alone?
Well, can I give you a wrong answer?
Oh, sure.
Saving Private Ryan.
That is, if you're trying to go for a wrong answer, that is correct.
Thank you.
I don't know which to give you, the buzzer or the whistle. I forgot to give Brandon the whistle for the last one. There's your belated whistle. All right, moving on. No, that's incorrect. Moving on to Dan Van Kirk. Ryan Stone and Being Alone.
Man. I have no idea. I don't. Is it B? Are you saying B, Brian with a B or Ryan with an R?
Ryan, R-Y-A-N,
sure.
Stone. And being alone.
Gravity?
That is correct.
Woo!
That was thrilling.
Wasn't that? That was so exciting.
Wow.
Such a thrilling. Yes, Gravity. That's the name of... what's her name?
Bullock.
Sandy Bullock.
I don't know where I pulled that off.
Ryan Stone in Gravity. And of course, she is quite alone in that movie, except for the camera crew. She is out there by herself. and
extra tough because Ryan is basically a male name.
Right. So, I don't know. It's something. I don't know where, I don't know how that popped into my head, but I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah, the being alone part, I guess, is what triggered it. Yeah, like, yeah, Ryan Stone sounds like an action guy character. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're back to Brandon. Brandon's got a point. Dan's got a point. Lori, you could still get a point. And also, this is just a warm-up game.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about at this point.
Okay.
Brandon.
What's up?
What movie could be called Vivian Ward and the 1 week's reward.
Vivian, isn't that Julia Roberts, Pretty Woman, right?
That is correct. Nice. Pretty Woman.
Let me see Julia Roberts. So
you did it.
Yeah. You're playing right into my wheelhouse today.
Yeah. Holy cow. Would you just watch that one too, you weirdo?
No, I've been, you know, I'm a big fan of Julia Roberts. So My Best Friend's Wedding is one of my favorite romantic comedies. Same with Notting Hill. So I know weird things.
Yeah. The Notting Hill director just passed away last week. Roger Michel, is that his name?
R.I.P.
Yeah. All right. So Brandon's killing it. He's got 2 points. Lori gets this next one first, though.
Oh, boy.
This is about Jenna Rink, who is older than you think. Jenna Rink.
Mm-hmm.
Younger than you think. Did I say
older than you think or younger?
She's younger than you think.
Okay,
she's older than you think.
Change my predicament at all.
She's younger than you think. Yeah, I'm going with younger.
I don't know, Doug. I don't want to waste time. I don't know.
Oh my God, you're ruining people's day with this delay. This thinking, that's okay. I mean, you know, you could wild guess it if you want, but you know, those often.
Is it a Nicole Kidman movie?
No, but I will accept that as an incorrect answer.
Thank you.
Let's go to, you're off the hook. Let's go to Dan.
I'm going to go 13 going on 30.
That is what I was looking for. 13 going on 30, starring the always youthful Mrs. Ben Affleck.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Jennifer Garner. That's her name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. I guess I probably would have made it too easy if I said Jenna Rink and the choreography from the Thriller video.
You know, would have guessed a Nicole Kidman movie.
It's, you know, if we're talking about the lead character is a woman, it's going to be probably a Nicole Kidman movie. Mm-hmm. She's like really broke through in that regard. Like she's like the main character in most of a lot of her films for one reason or another. We got a tie between Brandon and Dan. So what better way to settle this is to have Brandon and Dan go head to head on this next one. We'll have you sit out for a second, Lori.
Are you sure, guys?
But you'll be back. You'll be back in no time. Brandon gets first stab at it and then Dan.
Oh,
and whoever gets it, if either one of you gets it, you're going to win this game. You get to go first in the next game. That's all you win. All right. Alex Owens and the dance double.
Alex Owens.
Yeah, Alex Owens.
Flash dance?
Brandon, you are amazing.
Oh, sweet.
Where did you come up with that? Alex is a man's name, as we all know.
Oh my God.
It's because for Medium Popcorn, we recently reviewed Flashdance and what's the one with Patrick Swayze?
Dirty Dancing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we went to like this weird kind of like 80s movies dance thing. And we commented on some of these names. And that was one of the names that was completely bonkers.
All right. Can you believe like watching that movie now, the way they linger on the lady that's not, you know, what that's not, the actress who played the lead in Flashdance, Jennifer Beals, her stunt double, her dance double. It's just, their bodies could not be more different. And it just lingers. And just how, I just remember at the time, you know, how shocked everybody was to get the news that she didn't do her own dancing. Like it was the most craziest thing anybody had ever heard, even though people not doing their own singing was like a regular thing in movies. But congratulations to Brandon for really knowing these.
I've never won anything in my life.
They fall under the chick. I don't like the expression chick flick, but they all fall under that category. Brandon figured it all out.
And I'm a hopeless romantic, man. That's it. Just fits my wheelhouse. You know, I used to listen to Savage Garden and Third Eye Blind growing up. So. It all fits.
Right. And when you throw yourself under a bus, you can bet that Sandra Bullock is the one that's driving it. And we will come back with Brandon getting to go first in our next and final game, which will happen after these messages. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and I'm excited about this next game just because I just enjoy making up games and playing them and seeing what happens. And Brandon Collins gets to go first because he won the last game before the break. And this game is for all the metaphorical marbles. And it's a new game I called Who Didn't? You know, the whodunit is making a comeback with Knives Out and Knives Out 2 and probably a few other movies. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with a game called Who Didn't? I will name a year and three movies. Mm. And all you have to do is tell me which one of those three movies did not come out in that year.
Oh.
Oh. This is took a turn.
Yeah, right? But why is it called Who Didn't? Because it's full of twists. It's not a who, it's a what. And those whats are movies. The first to 3 points will be our winner. Brandon, like I said, gets to go first. And we'll follow it up. We'll switch the order around. Follow it up with Dan and then Lori. It's everybody's game at this point. Excellent. Are you ready, Brandon?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
From what the year is 1994. Which one of these movies did not come out in 1994? City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold, Legends of the Fall, or Rookie of the Year?
Ooh. I'm going to go with Legends of the Fall because I think that was 1993.
That's what you think. That is incorrect. Dan?
Yes. I am
going to. If you're paying attention, we've narrowed it down to two other titles.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with City Slickers. Damn it.
Yeah, Lori, damn it indeed. Lori, all you got to do is just swoop in and say that third title.
Can you list the titles one more time?
Don't do it, Doug.
I think under game show rules, I'm obligated to say them again.
You made the rules, bro.
It's true. But I hate for the rules to be you have to remember something that I said a couple of minutes ago, because I know I'd be terrible at it. City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold, Legends of the Fall, or Rookie of the Year?
I'm going to say Rookie of the Year.
Hang on. A little suspenseful beat. If I had a commercial break to go to right now, I would, because this is so suspenseful. That is correct.
Oh my God.
What if I win?
You did it. That's the beauty of this game. It's called Who Didn't this time, but the next time I play it, it's going to be called Lori Kilmartin's What If I Win?
Nice. Thank you.
All right.
Man, that movie was wild. Rookie of the Year. Y'all ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
Gary Busey was the love interest. That's how cuckoo bananas that movie was.
It's kind of off topic super quick. Gary Busey's wife is a stand-up comic.
What?
And she, he sits in the front row and she makes fun of his potential head injuries.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, I wouldn't leave the room.
That you can't. Riveting.
Yeah, does she guarantee that he's going to be at all of her sets? Because I think there'd be, people want their money back. That's not going to happen.
I know. I've only seen the one, but she has a tight 5 to 6 minutes on him, and I would think that, yeah, I think he's part of it.
I'm part of the show. I sit in the front row.
All right. That's 1 point for Lori.
Mm-hmm.
We're back to the top of the lineup with Brandon gets to go first. The year is 2004. Which one of these did not come out in 2004? Was it? Oh, and I should say, Rookie of the Year was just a year off 93. So it can be very tight. That's part of what makes it so difficult. 2004, Ladder 49, 21 grams, or the aforementioned 13 going on 30.
Ooh.
Yeah, Ladder 49, 21 grams, 13 going on 30.
I'm going to go with 21 grams.
That's your final answer? We're locking it in?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm putting all the
tissues. That is correct. Stop it. Don't talk yourself out of it. That's a point for Brandon. Congratulations.
I'm pretty confident I wanted a double date in high school to go see that movie. And I remember being like, this was a bad choice. This is too intense. I'm not going to get anything after this.
Yeah, that movie is, it's too much. It's too much.
It's not a feel good movie for the evening.
No. Don't get me started on how depressing that guy's movies are. Okay. and Sean Penn too, for that matter. And Naomi Watts. They all like really depressing things. All right, here we go. Dan?
Yes.
Thank you for staying on hold all that time.
Happy to.
Welcome back to the game. The year is 1988. Yeah. Short Circuit 2, Missing in Action 2, or Ghostbusters 2? In 1988, which one do you think doesn't belong in 1988?
Ghostbusters 2.
What makes you think that? Do you have a
I feel like it came out in 91.
Really?
Yeah. So I know I might not be right on that year, but I'm pretty sure I feel pretty strongly that it's not 88.
Think what Bobby Brown.
What if you had to be right on the year? What if I said you have to be right on the year? Would you stick with that answer?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're wrong on the year.
Damn it.
But you're right on the answer. It is
hell Ghostbusters yeah. 2. Was it 1990?
No, it was just 1 year later. It was 89.
Wow, 89 is such a huge year for movies.
Yeah, yeah, man. That's one of the best songs of all time, Bobby Brown, On Our Own.
Mm-hmm. there's a big debate, right, in movies between 1989, 1994 and 1999. That goes like, oh yeah. Like I've heard entire podcasts just on like 1994 movies. I think I read some cinematic think piece on the movies that came out in 1999. I know that 89 is a huge year. And then isn't there like 2007 or 2011 considered like one of the greatest years in cinema too?
I think it might have been 2008 because that's when Dark Knight and stuff came out.
Yeah.
Oh, you're sure that's not 2000 and late?
There we go.
There he is.
But I know 94 is huge. 94 and 99 are enormously huge film years.
Yeah, 1939 is a big one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's interesting that you know those because I in each case I couldn't tell you any movies that came out in those years. I'm terrible with years and movies. That's why I like making you play this game. I didn't come up with this game for myself to play.
Well, good.
And you have a point, Dan. So now we have a three-way tie.
Love it.
Yeah. This is working out great.
Mm-hmm.
we'll start with Lori. Okay. 1986, going real deep here.
Yeah.
Some Kind of Wonderful, Pretty in Pink, or Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Which one of those John Hughes movies wasn't in 1986?
Some Kind of Wonderful.
That's your final answer?
Yes.
You did it. That's correct.
What if Lori Kilmartin wins the What If Lori Kilmartin Wins This Game?
You were so...
And the prophecy has been fulfilled, Dave.
You have been so... You were so decisive on that one that I'm curious how you arrived at that.
It's a year that I was alive in, and I remember it starkly because I was very depressed. And so... I guess that year stands out to me. And those other two movies, I think, did come out in that year, or they came out around that time. But I know that Some Kind of Wonderful didn't.
Yeah, it was 1 year later. It was after Pretty in Pink and Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
But they're all, pretty tied together because, John Hughes was becoming a movie mogul at that time. So he could get anything he wanted made. But I like Some Kind of Wonderful, I have to say. It's one of my favorites of that genre.
Is John Cryer in it?
No, that's Pretty in Pink. He's Ducky in Pretty Pink. Some Kind of Wonderful is Eric Stoltz is in love with Marty McFly's mother and...
Leah Thompson, yep.
Yeah, and Mary Stuart Masterson is her tomboy drummer friend who's in love with him. And spoiler, they end up together at the end.
Wow.
Yeah. The pretty girl fucks off at the end. Yeah. Forget about her. Let's go with the cool girl with the really unfortunate haircut. Okay. So who just won? Oh, Lori just got 2 points. So she's in the winner's seat so far. We still got a few more of these. We're back to Brandon gets to go first on this one. You ready?
Hey, let's do it.
2008. Which one doesn't belong? Step Brothers, Semi-Pro, or Land of the Lost? These, of course, are all Will Ferrell movies. Which one wasn't in 2008? Step Brothers,
Land of the Lost.
And Semi-Pro.
That's the one, Andre 3000. I'm going to go with Land of the Lost.
Why do you say that?
Just because I remember seeing Semi-Pro and Step Brothers not too far apart and remembering being like, Semi-Pro came after. And I remember, oh, that was disappointing compared to Step Brothers, which was one of my favorite comedies still.
It's around impossible. My senior
in college, so I think it was 2008.
Yeah, well, your answer just made it impossible for me to say that you're wrong. Even if you were wrong, I wouldn't say you were wrong because that was so precise and actually correct.
Oh, dope.
So you are tied up with Lori. Dan gets to go first on this next one. This is your chance to make it a three-way tie.
Okay.
Very exciting finish if you do pull this off.
All right.
2014 is the year.
Mm-hmm.
Coherence, predestination, transcendence.
Oh, my God.
Which one of those that I barely understand what any of them are about?
Transcendence, predestination, and cadence?
Coherence.
It's fitting.
Yeah.
Let's go with the one I couldn't remember. Coherence.
You're going with coherence? That's your final answer?
Yep.
Dan Van Kirk had a chance to make it a three-way and tie, but he didn't choose predestination or transcendence, and he went with coherence. His gut took him to a place called a three-way tie.
Whoa!
He did it.
That was just a shot in the gravity dark.
Yeah. So this is very exciting, but this is where
really well, Doug.
This is where, thank you. This is where we're watching a lot of Holy Moly. This is where Lori, having won the previous game. It rarely comes in handy like this, but in this case, we have a three-way tie. But you do get to go first.
Okay.
In this tie-breaking round.
Ooh.
Same game.
And then it'll go, of course, to.
But if Lori gets it right, she wins, right? You said first to 3 points.
Yeah, exactly. You've all got 2 points. So, so it's up to Lori here. And then who went second after Lori the first time when this game? It was Brandon. So we go to Brandon and then Dan.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's still anybody's game.
Okay.
Lori, the movies are from 2011.
Okay.
A year just mentioned as one of the best of all time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Which one of these movies does not belong in 2011? Bernie, Beastly, or Bobby?
Wow. Wow. I'm just going to say Beastly.
I'm sorry. I wish there was a more gentle version of the boing sound. But it's it.
So
the end of the road for Lori Kilmartin.
Yeah, it was.
You've been a great guest.
It was an honor to compete.
But stick around. We'll do some plugs in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, Brandon.
Can I ask a clarifying question? By any chance?
I worry, but okay. Yes.
When you say Bobby, you mean the Emilio Estevez movie about RFK, right?
That is exactly what I mean.
Okay, so then I'm going to go with Bobby.
Why is that?
Because you said 2011, right? I'm pretty sure Bobby came out when I was still an undergrad, which would put it before 2008.
More specifically, 2006, you saw through that one.
Wow.
Brandon Collins is our winner today. Oh, you did it. Congratulations. That was a real nail biter. Such an exciting finish. I've never met anybody who's known so much about the Emilio Estevez movie Bobby.
Man, I remember I was so excited for that movie because it had a stat cast in Emilio Estevez, who doesn't love Emilio from the Mighty Ducks. And I saw it and I was like, wow, that was a rough 2 hours.
really rough. Bernie, as it turns out, is a terrific movie. If you've never seen that with Jack Black.
Yeah, that one's great.
It's really good. And then Beastly is just a weird romance between a regular and a non-regular.
Well, I picked Beastly because I like adverbs, and both Bobby and Bernie were names.
Right. That is a really,
as good a reason as any to to pick Beasley. And that's the trouble when you run into a Brandon Collins who picks the right answer because it's the right answer. That can really throw you off in a competitive situation. But let's go ahead with Brandon Collins first. What have you got to promote besides the fact that you'll be returning to Douglas Movies soon as the ongoing champion?
Oh my goodness. I have Movie Popcorn, my movie review podcast, where we spoil the hell out of new and old films. It's a lot of fun. You can check it out at mediumpopcorn.com or all podcast applications. If you are in New York City and or just interested in unsung black heroes in American history, please check out Drunk Black History on Friday, October 29th. It's our Halloween edition. Tickets can be found at drunkblackhistory.com for in-person and live streaming tickets. So love to see everybody there. And thanks again, Doug, for having me on. And Daniel, Lori, it's been a pleasure.
Wow, that was an amazing dismount.
Yes.
What a terrific
mic drop. Nice, I know.
terrific winner. And we'll talk to you in a second about when you can come back. But in the meantime, Lori Kilmartin is passing the baton, handing over the crown. But you were a great champion while it lasted, Lori.
Thank you. It was a glorious 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know you really got that extra time because you were on those shows you weren't on. Really gave you some time to remain champion. And what would you like to plug today?
Oh, I guess all I have to plug is I have an album coming out at the end of this month, end of October, called Corset. And, if you are the type to buy comedy albums, that'd be great if you would buy mine.
Or if it's your first comedy album, what the hell? Give it a try.
Start the tradition. Exactly.
Yeah. Buy an album. Listen to it. You're back in your cars again. It's good fun to listen to a comedy album in a car. You have something to blame when you get into an accident. And can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine getting sued because you made somebody crash from one of your jokes?
I can imagine me telling a joke so bad it would make somebody crash.
Oh, that'd be so funny. I'm suing on the grounds of this terrible comedy that made me crash.
How did this get left in the final edit of this album?
How does any morning DJ keep their job if people could really file suit for that reason? All right, thank you, Dan Van Kirk. Thank you as well. Always a delight. What have you got going on, buddy?
Well, I'm currently postponed my tour, so I'll pick that back up in March. All that's at DanielVanKirk.com. But in the meantime, I do some digital shows, which are just good hangs and fun at the same time. I've got a trivia night that I run. It's just like pub trivia. You can bring a team. And immediately after that, this is on Wednesday, the 13th of October, I will be doing a movie club every month, where we just get together and talk about a movie that hopefully we've watched right before we get together. And I'm doing Babadook, a horror movie for spooky season that I've never seen. So that'll be good. And then on Wednesday, the 27th, I do Halloweeningo, which is every month I do bingo. We raise money for No Kill Animal Shelters, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and food banks in your area. If you win, you not only win money and prizes, but so do those organizations. So it's a Halloween costume contest. Doug, I feel like at some point in the last year, you've joined me in Called Numbers. I'd love to have you for the Halloween one if you're free, but it's really fun. Comics can come by and call numbers as well. And you just play bingo. And before that, we'll be doing a movie club for Hocus Pocus. And the last, I've seen it, but this, I just want to do it for fun for Halloween. All that stuff's at DanielVanKirk.com. And it looks like I will be adding a headlining stand-up show in Houston, possibly, I think it's like the 23rd or 24th. It's coming together right now, but I still want to put it out there for people in that area that want to come out and see me. So go to DanielVanKirk.com for all of that stuff. And it was great being on this show today with all of you.
23rd or 24th in Houston, what?
Of October.
Oh, October. Well, yeah. That's soon. That's
yeah. So it's like, yeah, when we're recording this, it's just under 3 weeks away. So it should be up very, very quickly around when this drops, if it's happening. But like I said, everything's at danielvankirk.com.
Everything you could possibly need is there.
Yeah. As far as it pertains to me.
Yeah.
Sure.
Pub trivia is an interesting animal. Because people have to come up with, I just freeze up at the part where you have to come up with a name for your team.
Yeah.
What have you come across a good one lately? Because some people have amazing names for their teams.
Somebody went with a deep cut for 30 Rock. They're the Rural Jurors, which I like. Oh,
that is good. It's hard to say though.
Yeah, and they're kind of all over the place in terms of where they live, because that's a great thing about it being on Zoom. You can bring a team, or we'll put you on a team. And then when, you know how we have like breakout rooms, that's when you go off with your team and deliberate and come back with all your answers for whatever questions pertain to that round. I'm trying to think, there's one called like witty sex tape title. And then every week in the Zoom, members of that team have a new, usually movie themed. I think there are a lot of Douglas movies fans who play, and they come up with a different, like based off of a movie, sex tape that they would be the title of their sex tape. So that's always fun, but can't really think of any others right now. Yeah.
Yeah. They just don't do that anymore with the, adult films with the titles, you know, they don't make up the funny versions of, classic titles.
Lori, didn't you just tweet something out about Squid Game having a porn alternate title already?
I did, and I think Jay Washington replied, if there's something called Squirt Game already with the people on the cover were Asian women in the green tracksuits.
Well, if the first episode is any indication, it should be called Squib Game.
There you go.
That's why he's the host.
Yeah, it really is. I check out Doug Loves Television. And thanks for being out there doing the pub trivia, Dan, because that's a mighty important tradition to keep. Keep that going. Keep, you know, you're creating the Jeopardy champions of tomorrow.
I'm trying.
Yeah,
I can.
Have you been watching this guy, Matt Amodio, that just can't lose lately?
He's like risking it all every time he gets a daily double from what I've seen.
Well, if it's early enough on, but then he's smart with his money later on in the game. But yeah, he goes for it early. And if he fails, he still knows he still has time to rebuild, but he's an amazing player, and I don't know who's ever going to be able to trip him up. Like how he's going to have a bad night. It doesn't seem the way he plays. It just doesn't seem possible that he would ever lose. He may never. Jeopardy might just be the show where this guy just wins all the time.
Oh, they'll bring Ken out. They'll dust off Ken's buzzer, and he'll.
Ken says he's retired.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
He said that he doesn't want to, you know, ever. You know, play again, which I think is a cop out because he knew that something like this could come along.
Yeah. But he went on top after he won the Champion of Champions tournament. So,
yeah. But once they call you the GOAT, you're like, I'm not going to compete against anybody anymore because why
mess it up?
Why would I have that taken away, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody. You're all GOATs to me. And I appreciate everybody being here. And do I have anything I wanted to plug? That would be a good idea. I'm finally doing my 420 2019. Wait, 420 2020. I'm finally doing that show on October 10, 2021 in Denver at Comedy Works, stand-up show. But we'll play some Doug Loves Movies games at the end if people are people bring name tags and they're into it, and lots of other dates, DC and Portland, and they're all at DougLovesMovies.com. That's it, I guess. Thank you to Dan Van Kirk, Lori Kilmartin, and Brandon Collins. And as always, you're wearing my future.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in